for our first reading to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more, or when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. In that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so Christ continues then in expressing his kindness to them in the first section, verses 1 through 6. He is concerned with them regarding the offense that they will suffer very soon. They are about to be persecuted. In fact, they are about to be so afraid or put to fright that they will scatter and leave him alone. Peter will deny him and so on. So these are tough times that are about to come upon them. Even after that 40 days and after his ascension into heaven, we will see the tough times that come upon these apostles of Christ. So Jesus knows that about them. He knows the trials and the difficulties that they are about to undergo, and he is working to console them, to comfort them, and to strengthen them against those difficulties that will indeed come. And so the first thing we take note of here is the great care that Christ has for all of his sheep. Peter puts it this way, and this is in 1 Peter, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Jesus knows your weakness. He knows your trouble and your strife. He knows your afflictions. He knows those temptations that you fall to. He knows your grief and anguish of heart, your fears. He knows all of that already. He counsels you to pray. He counsels you to come to him for comfort and to turn to his word. This is not the comfort of, well, okay, I'll just make things all better. I'll put them back in order like you want them. That's not the comfort that Jesus offers, because that truly is not the comfort that we need. The comfort that we need is what? The comfort that we need is the comfort of knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, protects us, cares for us, calls upon us that in times of great affliction to make times of spiritual progress, dedicating ourselves to him, hearing him, and receiving the comfort that he gives. Their sorrow is misplaced, Jesus tells them. They ought to rejoice because he is going away. That sounds counterintuitive, but the blessedness that comes of his departure is such that they ought to be rejoicing, because they will receive the promise of the Spirit of God. And receiving that promise of the Spirit will what? Well, there's all kinds of things that the Spirit is going to do for them that this upper room discourse makes plain. He's going to bring to mind all things whatsoever Christ has told them. He's going to give them strength and perseverance. He's going to convict them and the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to speak through them. It is through the Spirit of God that these very same apostles will write the balance of the New Testament, with the exception of Paul, who's not here. All of these things are coming as great benefits coming with the Spirit of God. And it is our error, it is our weakness that says, really, the only thing that will console me is the thing that I wanted, right? Instead of what Christ, by his Spirit, gives us in spiritual progress, in spiritual fortitude, and so on. We've talked about afflictions before. We remember that we learn things during times of affliction that we would never, ever learn otherwise. We learn also that God does not send affliction because of, quote unquote, our sins, because if he dealt with us on that basis, we would always be under affliction. Rather, John 9, 1 through 3 tells us that the man was not born blind because of his sin. He was not born blind because of his parents' sin. He was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest in him. That's why the Lord sends afflictions. All right, so the second section, verses 7 through 22, the ministry of the Spirit. Jesus says, "I will send him." Excuse me. This speaks of Christ's right as the obedient Son, as part of his covenantal reward to send the Spirit to whomsoever he will. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Notice that unbelief is a sin. Sin because they believe not on me, Jesus says. Unbelief is a sin. Secondly, of righteousness. That is the righteousness of Christ, and hence his going to his Father, carrying that righteousness with him. And judgment, that the devil and all his are cast out, and the kingdom of righteousness is established instead. Then the Spirit will also bring a greater understanding. He illumines. He does not magnify himself. He takes the word of Christ. He takes the word of the Father. And he brings those to our present thoughts and our present understanding. And then his care also, when during the course of that section, he says something to them and they don't understand. And so among themselves, they say, "Did you get that? No, I didn't get it. Did you get it? No, I didn't get it either." What does he mean when he says, "A little while and you'll not see me, and a little while and you will see me"? What does that mean? And so Jesus knows their thoughts. And notice that knowing their thoughts, that Jesus once again stretches himself out to them in answering those difficult questions that they're asking, filling up that understanding, excuse me, that they lack, filling up the understanding that they lack. And so we see that with Christ, and we can expect this as well, that with Christ, we can come to him and we can ask when we don't understand, and that we can expect through a proper use of ordinary means that he will, in his time, open our understanding. Where else would we go? To whom would we go? Well, we might go to our elders. That's right. But we understand that it is through the Scriptures that the elders might apply to our questions that those questions will be answered. In other words, through the Word of Christ. Christ stretches himself forward to his people to help. We see Christ here, a very loving Savior, a very kind Savior, a very, very much a working Savior, working himself out to his people that they can receive comfort and understanding. These are the great commodities of the world, are they not? Comfort and understanding, a knowledge of Christ and his working. These are the great treasures of the world. And Jesus promises them to his people. Then we should have confidence in prayer because of the mediation of Christ. And this is a most interesting section when Jesus says, "Up to now, you haven't asked anything in my name. Now it's time to do that." And "in my name" means by my authority. And if I can maybe extrapolate just a little bit there, Jesus is talking about not right this second, but after his successful work. That when he stands on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 28 and says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me." And then when he says here, "Up to now you have not asked anything in my name, but you will." This is what he's talking about. He is talking about his right as the obedient son to mediate for us before the Father. Asking in my name then means asking according to the commands and counsels of Christ. It's not simply tacking on a "in Jesus' name" on the end of your prayers. But if we ask anything according to the authority of Christ, that is, according to the things that he would do, he says he'll do it. What is it that you desire? What is the will of God for you? It's the will of God that you be thankful. Do you find yourself murmuring and not thankful? Then ask the Lord for thankfulness. He promises to give it. Do you find yourself profane and not holy? This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. So you know that is in the authority of Christ. Right? This is asking in his name, asking according to his commands and counsels. Do you lack holiness? Then ask for it. Jesus says you ask for it, you will receive it in my name. And then he says something that must have been very, very comforting and even surprising to those disciples. He says, "You're not going to ask me anymore for anything. You're going to ask the Father." You know why? Because the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. Yes, he loves me, but he loves you also because you love me. And so you can have confidence to call upon Him as your Father. And that is an unspeakable privilege. So, Jesus then speaks about His mediation. And then, finally, in verses 28 through 33, Jesus finishes out that discussion. And we learn, not only from this, but a few prior verses, that when Jesus says, "I'm going away for a little while and I'm coming back to you," He's talking about His death and resurrection. And then He's talking about, even more expandedly, He's talking about His ascension into heaven and then returning to them in the person of the Spirit of God, who will bring to them all things that belong to Christ. So then, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus says, "I've overcome the world." And could I just use that last verse there to sum up the entirety of the Upper Room Discourse, that Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He is telling them exactly that. If you could put a topical a header on the Upper Room Discourse, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Especially that "be of good cheer" part. As He is readying His disciples for His departure, He is telling them how to be of good cheer. Thus ends the reading then of John 16. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.